Hello and welcome to the Beyond Shakespeare podcast, and today's special discussing episode, first of many discussing episodes, diving into the world of Christopher Marlowe and specifically performances of his plays by the wonderful The Show Must Go Online. And my special guest will be talking about a production of Edward II in just a moment. Before we get to that, I just want to talk about a project that's coming up in October. On October the 29th, Beyond Shakespeare is producing a Lord Mayor's Show, a recreation of the 1621 Lord Mayor's Show in approximately where it was originally performed. It's not going to be an exact reconstruction, but it is going to be an opportunity for lots of people to come along, get involved in silly ways. We want our audience in costume. We want people to turn up dressed as whifflers, as green men or women, as aldermen, as signs of the zodiac, and in fact all sorts of monarchs and other peoples, not because it will necessarily improve the pageant that we're performing, but because it's a bit of a laugh. There is a sign-up form that will be in the show notes if you'd like to be involved on the ground floor, or if you just want to be kept in the loop about what's going on. It's all going to be recorded as much as we can. We're going to be producing some special things for the podcast. That's all going to be coming out as much as possible online so that you can be involved even if you cannot physically be there. So we're going to try and make that as inclusive as we possibly can. So do check the show notes. There will be links there for the sign up, and keep an eye out for future announcements. But that is enough of a plug from me. Let's get to Edward II. Let's get to some Marlowe. Let's get to my guest, who is, please introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Kevin V. Smith, and I'm a theater artist from Chicago, Illinois, and I'm directing Edward II for The Show Must Go Online.
Excellent. So this is a show that if you're listening to this when this first goes out, people listening to this in the future, it has already happened. But if you're listening to this podcast first goes out, this is coming up in a little over a week's time by the time this podcast goes out on the 9th of June. That's 9th of June 2021. And yes, it's going to be online. It's going to be available. Links will be in the show notes so that you can get to this show. But as I'm talking to Kevin now, the show is in production and is coming together. And so, Kevin, could you tell me a little bit first about the play, Edward II, why you're doing it specifically, and to a degree, why is The Show Must Go Online doing it?
Edward II is a play from 1592 by Christopher Marlowe, as you said, and tells the story rather ingeniously and quite faithfully historically, although there are some major changes that Marlowe does brilliantly, in my opinion. Tells the story of England's 14th century monarch, Edward II, who had a very, very troubled reign, is best known for having male favorites who historically are considered to have been his lovers. One was actually referred to as his husband. So it's the story of his very troubled reign and how he was eventually, his lovers were torn away from him by the nobility of the land, who really didn't approve for a number of reasons. And then finally, how he was deposed and overthrown by his queen, who was the last person, in fact, Queen Isabel de France was in fact the last person to successfully invade England, which I think is a fantastic little tidbit that I love. So he was overthrown by his queen with the help of the nobility and the people of England at the time in favor of his then 14-year-old son. So it is the story of the troubled and I think troubled and lamentable reign of Edward II. For me, this play has always meant so much to me. As a queer person, I think this play has just been a touchstone to me because I don't know the exact, you know, if this is exactly true, but I do believe that when Marlowe wrote this play, it was one of the very first queer, as we say now, queer protagonists in Western drama. And the homosexual love story, the gay love story, notably between Edward and Gaveston, is so it's so there on the page. And the everything that happens to Edward and happens to Gaveston over the course of the play, as a queer person, you know, I have always just related to it so much. And I think this play is so beautiful because even Marlowe touched on something so deep in the 16th century that still resonates with queer discourse today, which to me is, and you know, this was in the 16th century before the sociological construct of sexual identity, homosexuality even existed. So this play is very, very special in my opinion.
I know the show must go online. It's not only doing Edward II there, also dipping into Dido and Dr. Faustus and the rest of the canon. Tell me a little bit about the show must go online. You're first in the interviewing schedule, as it were. So in a sense, you get the first stab at this. We'll see if everyone agrees further down the line.
So the show must go online is an online theater company that was formed in response to the pandemic, I think at the very beginning of the quarantine in the spring of 2020. And it started just kind of, if I understand correctly, sort of on a whim. And then they were producing one play after another, one a week. Then eventually it got noticed by the BBC or some major news outlets, and it kind of blew up. And that's how I heard about it. So yeah, from March until maybe November of 2020, they were producing plays at a breakneck pace, and they just had, in my opinion, a huge influence over the development of the format of Zoom theater. So I've worked with them 3 times as an actor and really enjoyed it, found the process with them to be so transformative. And then when they announced the month of Marlowe, which they decided to do, I was lucky enough to have been asked to direct Edward II.
Yes, talking about a digital production, talking about what happens to Marlowe on Zoom, what happens to this play? What are your plans for this play? I mean, you're a little over a week away before you actually go up. So I'm assuming you're relatively far into the production process. You know, where are you now? Where do you hope to be in 9 or so days time?
So as of today, we've just begun rehearsals. So it's a very, very fast process. We have a week and a half of rehearsals. I spent the last month in research and conceptualizing my ideas, how I wanted to present this, creating the world, the whole aesthetic of the show. And so right now it's about giving that world to the cast and, you know, working through the scenes. And because of the nature of this process, as an actor on Zoom with the show must go online, you're also a costume designer, a lighting designer, a cinematographer. So my approach is really to try to plunge everyone into this world that I've created in my head over the course of the last, I guess, month of diving into this play, and then hand it over to them to put all of their artistry and all of their heart into it. So yeah, we've staged at this point 2 scenes, and we started at the end, which was challenging and interesting, but that's how it works with the schedule. So,
well, you know, you always know where what you're leading into.
That's true.
So you're always going into a place of knowledge rather than into a place of uncertainty. So, it's a dense play. It's not a short play. There's a lot of text. When we did with our exploring group, our initial work with it, just the momentum of the text. It's unrelenting. How have you, I assume you've got a planned running time and an idea of the cut now. What sort of adjustments also technically do you have to do with the text for Zoom as well? Are there bits you just went, okay, this bit we might not be able to do, or the challenging questions some of the interactions with actors on stage are quite violent, and how do you stage those as well?
Yeah, great question. There's nothing in the play that we're not doing because of it being too difficult. I've been interesting from the beginning of exploring this idea of authenticity on Zoom. Because I found this to be kind of the defining principle of Edward II's reign, that there's a quote when he was deposed that apparently he said to the nobles, basically, forgive me, but I could not be other than I am. And so this idea of like who he is and his authentic self basically put him at odds with everyone and everything, but he couldn't do anything but be himself. And so that really struck a huge chord in me and inspired a lot of ideas. So in terms of the aesthetic of what the actors are doing, I thought it would be much more interesting, as opposed to doing Zoom stage combat, so to speak, or Zoom kissing, or, you know, that kind of thing, to find different ways, non-representational ways and more abstract, surreal ways to depict that. For the violence, for example, sound became the thing for me. There's a piece in the text where when Edward is held captive, he says they're drumming, and they're drumming relentlessly, and they keep me up all night and they don't let me sleep. And so this idea of percussion became really central to the concept for me. And I thought, what if we use percussion and sound in order to represent violence? So that in that way, I'm just interested as an experiment to see how that affects the performances, if the actors have something more visceral to react to that they can actually hear, as opposed to some kind of staged Zoom stage combat, which is so technical. And these love scenes, because also really central to this staging is this love story between Gaveston and Edward. I thought, how do we give that emotion, how do we give those feelings to the audience in a way that, because the audience knows, right, that we're not in the same room. And the suspension of disbelief with Zoom is something that's fascinating and fantastic when you can do that right. But I thought, what if it was through abstract gesture, through more in the realm of dance theater, through self-touch, as opposed to, and mirroring of gestures and that kind of thing, how we can portray those love scenes in a way that maybe can create a more, I guess, a more emotional reaction in the audience, as opposed to the audience going, oh, that was cool. How did they do that trick? So everything I've been searching for, how do we not do the trick? How do we do something that actually, that reads in a different way and might provoke some kind of interesting feelings in the audience?
One of the reactions, because Edward II does have a good modern performance history, one of the things that, you know, people latch onto is the violence, the history play angle. But another way of looking at it, is a series of love stories.
Yeah, and the other main thing that struck me about Marlowe and why I feel he's so special is that when I read this play, I just feel the love that he has for his four very complicated protagonists. And for me, the protagonists are Edward, of course, Gaveston, the Queen, Queen Isabella, and then the young prince, who eventually becomes king at the end of the play. The love that Marlowe feels for these characters just jumps off the page to me. That even though they're complicated, and even they do things that make me so angry, you know, the way Edward treats Isabella, for example, it's just, I mean, the misogyny is there, the structural misogyny that she suffers, it's all there. He doesn't spare us. Marlowe doesn't spare us of anything. But I thought, if I could bring the love that I have to this for this play in the same way that I feel Marlowe bringing it for these characters, and if I could, it's my hope to transmit that love that I feel for this play to the team. And then Marlowe's huge, gentle, bleeding, empathetic heart is all over this one. So it really made sense to me. Let's try to go there. We can't rely on comedy. There's very little of it in this play. We can't rely on hijinks. So how do we create a space for the actors that can be safe, and also where they can be brave, and where we can be vulnerable, and try to go to that place on Zoom, which is hard because you're alone in your bedroom, right?
It's a good point when you're talking about being safe or feeling safe, because in a sense, yes, we're all in separate spaces, but it's a very confined space when you're working on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And when you work on something that is or potentially as emotionally intense as this, it's very easy to get stuck in your head, especially in the rest of the world issues as well, even though hopefully things are opening up and, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
This is, having acted for The Show Must Go Online three times, I feel that's a big asset in this process, because that we have quite a few new actors who haven't worked with the company before, and just to be able to tell them I know how you feel, and to have that experience really of doing it, I'm trying to bring all of that knowledge that I have in these processes with them, which have been really transformative, to the table, you know, in order to try to do something that serves the actor's process, but also allows us to create, to push the boundaries of what can be done on Zoom, to think of it more as a visual art form, see where we can go in terms of creating a visually stunning and engaging image throughout the entire piece, which is important to me. The flip side of this, you know, being alone in your room, right? At least for me, because I'm a very introverted person who kind of just works this way and processes things this way. But these experiences with The Show Must Go Online, maybe I mentioned this before, but they've been really transformative for me. And so I feel like the flip side of that is, you know, you're working with yourself, of yourself, in your room with these roles that, you know, there's so much space in, I think, early modern texts and inside of Zoom theater. There's so much space underneath the text. There's so much space inside of the process for the actor, because we have like 19 actors who are all kind of like making their own film, right? Their own little film, and they're all going to play simultaneously. There's so much room there for that personal artistry, I feel, in a way that's a little bit different from when you're working together with a group in person. That's been my experience. And so I'm trying to do everything that I can to foster that kind of spirit inside of the rehearsal process. And this is a great play to do it, because it's so sincere in a lot of ways.
So how do you go about casting a show when you have the potentially anyone from around the world with a Wi-Fi connection and a laptop?
That casting the show, the casting for this, I did it myself with the help of the production team, who, you know, has so much experience and were really amazing in terms of, we have a very short schedule, so availability and that kind of thing became paramount for me. Yeah, the show must go online, put out an announcement. Anyone can apply, you know, any level of experience. And then in the end, I had a really long list of people to go through. And I was just kind of constant going through the names and the headshots and their reels and their resumes over and over again to try to put together this puzzle in my head. Because we have this opportunity to do it online, having an international cast was something that was super important to me. I love international collaboration, and that's something that over the course of my career I've done a lot of. And so we have actors from 4 different continents, so all different time zones, which makes things really crazy and fun sometimes, with all different backgrounds and types of training and experience levels. And so yeah, that was a big consideration when I was putting together the cast, because I wanted to create also opportunities for the cast to be able to work with and meet other artists from different parts of the world, because that's been a really amazing facet of working with The Show Must Go Online for me. Just I didn't know any theater artists in the UK before I did shows with them, and now there are so many that I've made connections with, and it's, you know, opened up a lot of doors in that way, and in terms of back and forth and friendships and that kind of thing too. So,
right. Well, we are sadly running low on time. Could you give a mini roundup of where to find Edward II, when it is?
So Edward II by Christopher Marlowe, production of The Show Must Go Online, will be performed live on Zoom on Wednesday, June 9th. 2021. You'll be able to find all the relevant links on The Show Must Go Online social media. So their Instagram, Twitter is a really good place to find more. And tickets will be on sale, I think, through Eventbrite. There'll be links up. And the show also, if you buy a ticket, you don't have to watch it live, although it's fun. There's a great group of people who watch the shows live together and comment on them, but you'll be able to watch it later if you can't watch it live, if you purchase a ticket. I think that is also through their Patreon too. They have a Patreon, and I encourage everyone to donate to The Show Must Go Online for their amazing work. Go to their Patreon, support them, check out what they've been doing. They created an inclusive and really beautiful space for theater makers.
All that remains is to thank Kevin for joining us on this, shall we say, this flash discussion session. Hopefully further down the line, when the show's all over, you can come on again and we can talk in more detail about the production, how it all went. All that remains is to thank you for coming on and appeal to our wonderful audience at home to catch the show and give them as much feedback, encouragement and or money as you can. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Thank you, Robert.